Let us go to Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6 for our thoughts for the day. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Here we can see the power of tears in this little section here. If we go forth weeping, bearing precious seed, then we can come again bringing our sheaves or our evidence of harvest from those tears. And one of the great examples in the Word of God is none other than Nehemiah of this principle. So you might divide this little verse here into like a scales. On one side, the pain side, with the weeping and the pain of bearing the precious seed and sowing that seed and cultivating that seed. And then on the right-hand side of the scales, as it were, we could see the pleasure side of bringing those sheaves back again in full maturity. And we see a beautiful example of this in the life of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was one of the captives over in Babylon. And we remember this occasion as he makes mention here in the first chapter in verses 3 and 4. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Nehemiah was so burdened and so upset when he heard as a captive over in Babylon how those that remained in Jerusalem, how the city had been burned, how the gates had been burned, and of the affliction and the reproach that was going on in that beloved city. It broke his heart. Beloved, we should be moved at the sufferings and afflictions of those round about us, and certainly of our own people. And we live in a day when this is a great disturbance to many leaders in our land, how that people can stand and watch somebody else slain in cold blood of murder and not be moved, not raise a finger, just walk on by as though nothing had transpired or nothing had happened. But beloved, this was not the case in the life of Nehemiah. This was not the condition of his heart. He had a soft, tender heart that was in tune with God. And when he heard about the affliction of his brothers, he heard about the condition of his beloved Jerusalem a long way off. It touched him. It moved him. He wept. He fasted. He prayed. He mourned for this condition. And you remember that he was the cupbearer for the king, which they tell me in Eastern countries is one of the most trustworthy positions that one could hold. Because naturally, if you're going to hand a cup to the king, he wants to be sure that you are not an enemy, you're not a traitor, that you be loyal, faithful, and true, that you don't poison him. And so when he came before the king, and he said, and I took up the wine in chapter 2 and verse 1 and gave it up unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said to me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. And then you remember the story, how that Nehemiah went on to explain to the king the condition of his land, the condition of his people. And beloved, tears move the hearts of those that are not just totally solidified with bitterness and so on. If you want to move someone's heart, then you can't just cry crocodile tears. But if you're moved with a true emotion from your own soul and from your own spirit, it will manifest itself and have power over others. So he began to tell them, tell the king the condition of his homeland. And he asked the king, if you remember the story, to give him beams, give him lumber, that he could go back to his land. Well, he began then to sow those tears. A lot of people cry tears, but they don't sow tears. You've got to sow your tears in your works. You've got to get up and do something as God makes provision to sow those tears. It's not enough just to weep tears, but we must sow the seeds of tears. So Nehemiah went back to Jerusalem, and he sowed those tears, as it were, in the form of building the walls and building the gates and making a total restoration of the wall and the gates through much and in the midst of much opposition. He came again then, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him, as it were. And as we go to Nehemiah, the 12th chapter, we find how that after the completion of all of this, the joy, the praise, the gratitude that existed in the nation of Israel. So Nehemiah went out sowing precious seed, and he came again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. In chapter 12 and verse 31, he said, "Then I brought up the princes of Judah upon the wall and appointed two great companies of them that gave thanks, whereof one went on the right hand upon the wall toward the dung gate." And then he went on to say in verse 38, "And the other company of them gave thanks, went over against them," that is the opposite side, "and after them and the half the people upon the wall, and from beyond the tower of the furnaces even unto the broad wall." So we have here two great companies, one that took the right hand, one that took the left, to praise and thank God for the pain, for the pleasure, for all of the good work and the good manifestation of the grace and power of God. And finally, in verse 40, we find the two companies meeting together, as it were, in the middle of the scales, where that gratitude for the pain and gratitude for the pleasure was joined. And we find these words, "So stood the two companies of them that gave thanks in the house of God, and I and the half of the rulers with me." And so Nehemiah was able to stand in the house of his God after these two great wheels, as it were, had met together in gratitude. So Nehemiah went forth sowing in tears, and he came again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. What a joy must have filled his heart that day. And he must have thought back and remembered how it was when he was in Babylon, offering the cup to his king there and expressing his heartbroken condition over Jerusalem, and how he'd wept and fasted there, and how he took those tears and came back. And then seeing, beloved, him coming again with his sheaves is indeed a precious thing. Let us pray. Father, we pray that you will quicken this principle to our hearts and lives today, that what you have promised in Psalm 126 you'll do for each one of us. What you did for Nehemiah in days gone by, you will do for us today. That if we will go forth with tears sown, that we will indeed come again rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with us. Because we pray in Jesus' precious, lovely, wonderful name. Amen.